We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Father Flynn, he called Donald Miller to the rectory.
So, it's happened.
Doubt can be a bond as powerful as certainty.
I'll throw your son out of this school.
You hurt my son to get your way.
You have no right to act on your own. You have no right!
I will do what needs to be done!
You should understand that, or you will mistake me.
A little bit from a very intense movie called Doubt, starring Meryl Streep. You heard her voice there about a priest accused of some inappropriate behavior with a Catholic schoolboy. My goodness, intense stuff for the silver screen. We're going to do some movie reviews here for the last half hour of this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back. Brian Gadawa is our guest. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. It's Friday afternoon, the 3rd of April. Brian Gadawa is a screenwriter in Southern California, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Brian, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last 2 months or so?
Well, the one that comes to mind, because I see a lot, so I kind of can forget them sometimes, but the one that comes to mind is Taken, which is actually, I think, still out at some theaters with Liam Neeson. And it's a thriller, a real basic thriller, by-the-numbers sort of thriller, but it's about Liam Neeson plays an ex-CIA operative who's retired out of the business, and he used to do some bad stuff. And his daughter is going away on a little vacation in, I think, France, and she gets abducted by some criminals who are part of the sex slave trade. And so Liam Neeson then hunts these guys down to rescue his daughter. And it's basically, you know, your one-man Rambo type thing against the sex trade. And I think the reason why I liked it was because it was just sort of back to the good old-fashioned, good guy hunting down the bad guys who deserve to die. And the reason why I say that is because the sex trade, if you know anything about it, it's a monstrous evil in the world, including even in the United States, and many people don't even know about it. And why I like it was that it's sort of bringing out the fact that this stuff exists that people are unaware of. And the fact that it's in a movie, a story, you know, it makes it entertaining in a way, but it also educates people to what's going on out there and the kind of monstrous evil atrocity that needs to be addressed.
Why is that clear operation within a system of good and evil not only make for a good worldview, but also for a good film?
Well, you know, I think that to some degree, life can be complex. There are some gray areas of life, but I think in the postmodern environment that we're in, it's very chic to prattle on about the complexities of life and how everything's relative and there are no absolutes. Watchmen might be a case in point for that. But I think that since we're created in the image of God, we have that inherent need to do what's right, right and wrong, inherent sense of right and wrong, even though we suppress that. And so in an unclear, muddied postmodern world, a sense of strong, clear right and wrong, to me, is appeals to that image of God that's in us.
You mentioned Watchmen, a darker version with kind of lesser-known superheroes. Tell us about this film.
Yeah, Watchmen, big, huge hit, of course, and based on a graphic novel, and it's a very faithful adaptation of the graphic novel. It's basically a story of It's an anti-superhero superhero movie. So it sort of deconstructs the superhero and show, you know, we enter into this alternate universe that's, you know, starts out in the 80s, I guess, and it's as if Richard Nixon took power and seized power and stayed president for, you know, 10 years or whatever. And I think the point of the story is sort of these ex-superheroes. They're ex because they put up their capes and stuff because while they became vigilantes in a way, and society rejected them for their vigilante nature. And so then they put their capes up and they kind of became middle-aged older people. And then the story starts with someone shows up and kills one of them, and they think, uh-oh, they're out to kill costumed crusaders. And so the story is about hunting down who's doing this and why. And, you know, it's a very complex, dark, cynical view. But I think there's, you know, it's a mixture of real good and bad. You know, it shows man's utter depravity and man's total sinfulness, which I think is very biblical. It's a story that tries to deal with people looking up to superheroes who don't deserve it. I think that can be true. I don't think that, therefore, we shouldn't have any heroes or shouldn't believe in superheroes at all. I mean, you know, that they're the standard of absolutes that we're striving for. But nonetheless, you know, it kind of brings a human face to all that. And I think in the end it shows a story of a dark, dark world that people will believe lies in order to make themselves happy and peaceful, and you can't really ultimately suppress that dark side. It's going to keep coming up. And I think that that's a positive element of the movie. Of course, it doesn't really have any hope or redemption in it, so it ends up being a very cynical sort of portrait of reality. But nonetheless, there's a lot of truth to that. And so it's visually rich, and it's a strong, you know, it's very complex. I actually don't really recommend it. Personally, I wasn't very impressed by it. While it is deep, but as movies go, you know, it's in that vein of The Matrix and Dark Knight, etc. But it was more of an idea-oriented movie, more about ideas. Whereas a movie like Dark Knight, which was also a dark world, but it was also very gray morality that was dealing with moral issues. But I think that Dark Knight was a much more entertaining and also a richer, philosophically richer film because it dealt with some moral issues that were more struck home to the personal people involved. And Watchmen was sort of intellectual. So in that sense, I don't think it was very impressive. But
Brian Godawa is our guest. We're doing some movie reviews on this Friday afternoon, the 3rd of April, here on Issues, Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Seen any good movies lately? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. The one we played the trailer for coming out of the break, Doubt, is one that, you know, as a clergyman myself, I hesitate to go see because it seems like it might be an uncomfortable experience. But it's a movie finally, I think, dealing with the issue of priestly abuse, or maybe the specter of priestly abuse. The movie's called Doubt. What can you tell us about it?
Well, did you get a chance to see it,
though? I have not had a chance to see it.
I really would recommend it, actually. I think it's a very thoughtful story, and like you said, it deals with the specter of, you know, of how the Roman Catholic Church would cover up and move priests around all this child molestation and such. And sexual predators. It deals with the issue, and it takes place, like, you know, back in the, I don't know, late 50s or something. But the movie is very, it deals with that issue, but it's not very, it doesn't, I don't want to ruin it either. It shows both sides of the issue, let me put it that way. It shows both sides, and it argues strongly for both sides of the issue of whether or not this was really happening. And I think in that sense, it's a very thought-provoking film. I think it is another sort of a postmodern movie that, again, questions, you know, our ability to know the truth. And there's truth to that, but in the end, if you do not know the truth about something, if you cannot make a moral judgment about things, then you end up causing more damage than you do in questioning wrong claims, if that makes any sense. And so I think that it's a very good movie, a very thought-provoking. I recommend it. And but it is, you know, it's a tad postmodern, and I think in that sense, I would just say keep a discerning mind.
One thing before we let that one go and go to a break, one concern I always have with regard to the Silver Screen's treatment of the church is whether or not it paints a caricature. In this case, does Doubt paint a caricature of the Roman Catholic Church, even in the 50s?
Well, you know, it's fine. You know, I would say, as I watched it, I thought it did. Meryl Streep actually plays a very cliche schoolmarm, you know, principal of a school that's uptight, all this kind of stuff. And Philip Seymour Hoffman plays a priest, and he's very loving, kind, and tender to people. So, and it does, because it be the movie, like, yeah, you get this sense of it's a little bit of a cliche. But because the story starts to show both sides with fairness, you can, you know, depending on what your personal conclusion is about the film, you could end up liking it or hating it. So it's an interesting one.
Well, see, that's a good one. The kind that leaves you thinking about it and pondering it in that way is probably a sign that the story's been told very well on the silver screen. Brian Gadawa is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, the 3rd of April. We do want to hear from you. Our email address here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talking movies and movie reviews with Brian Gadawa, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can call us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Seen any good movies? We want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter, and we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes of movie reviews with Brian Gadawa. I mentioned a little earlier in the program I have some relations coming in over the weekend. That's because one of my kids is being confirmed. You start thinking about confirmation gifts and resources. I encourage you to visit one of the two bookstore locations, the Concordia Publishing House, operates in St. Louis. The one is on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, right there on the campus. You just follow the signs. And the other is at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. All sorts of Easter gifts for your children and grandchildren, confirmation gifts on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis or at 3558 South Jefferson in the city. Brian, let's talk a little bit about another one of these movies. Now, this one's been out a little bit longer, but because of the star power that was in it, and the interesting story that it portrayed, I want you to talk about Gran Torino.
Yeah, Gran Torino was one of my favorite movies of last year, and it probably would have been my favorite, even more than probably, maybe than Dark Knight, had the acting been better. But it's the story of Clint Eastwood, who plays a World War II vet, or no, Korean War vet, and his story starts with his wife dying, and so now he's all alone in this little neighborhood that they've lived in for the last, 40, 50 years. And the neighborhood's changed, and it's become a Hmong neighborhood, which is, an Asian people's. And it turns out that Clint Eastwood is a bigot, and he doesn't like all the other races and stuff. And he's a basic conservative type guy, who's lived his life responsibly, keeps his lawn well while the whole neighborhood's going to pot. Anyway, the story is about him befriending one of the neighborhood Hmong kids, a couple of them, and one of the boys is being drawn into a gang. And it's all about him fighting to become responsible and Clint Eastwood helping him to grow up while Clint Eastwood sort of loses his sense of his bigotry, But what's so great about the story is it's both politically correct and politically incorrect, because I think that while it shows a man really shedding some of his bigotry and connecting with people of a different race and culture, it also shows them as being bigoted as well. The other, the Hmong people, the Asian people are bigots as well. We're all bigots in a sense. But also, he's still a hero, and he doesn't, while he reaches out, he becomes a friend of them, he still remains, very much of a bigot in many other senses, So he ends almost the same way he started, but he still reaches out to people, and he's a good man. And so the point is here's a movie that in Hollywood, the ultimate sin is bigotry. I mean, it's worse than anything. It's worse than murder, worse than terrorism. To them, Hollywood, so movies normally make bigots as being unredeemable evil, the ultimate evil. And this is a movie that shows you, bigotry is wrong, but they're good people too. They can be good people too, and it's not the ultimate sin. And in that sense, it's politically incorrect, which I really liked about it. So it's got a real good, a real good view, and it tells just a great story about an old man helping out a young kid, and they're of different race, and they both overcome their cultural prejudices. Great, great story.
It seems to me that Eastwood, as an actor and a director, has in the last couple of films that he's either made or been interested in kind of telling the story of a generation that's dying away, in some sense.
Yeah, I would agree. Mystic River was definitely that way. It's a dying sense of dying generation of right and wrong and morality. I mean, in some ways, I think Clint Eastwood tends to really be, I think in some ways he has a very dark view of life and a very wishy-washy, gray view of reality. For instance, if you take a look at Flags of Our Fathers, there was a movie where he deconstructed the image of the Iwo Jima flag image with the guys pulling up the flag and all this. And because, of course, the image became a powerful guiding metaphor for the righteous cause of America in World War II. And he tells a story that it questions that morality, questions the truth of it, and deconstructs that image as being false. When in fact, I don't think it was false. Even if we thought it was something it wasn't, the image was still a true metaphor because it was a righteous cause. And even though people may have thought that was men in the midst of battle pulling the flag up, but it wasn't, and the guys who pulled it up end up having screwed up lives afterwards, that's irrelevant. The image is still true, the metaphor is still true, and it was a righteous cause. But then he went ahead and made Sands of Iwo, what was the other one? The letters from Iwo Jima.
Yeah.
And, you know, he deconstructed the Japanese, too. And he basically showed that the Japanese warrior culture was also self-destructive. So in a way, he's just sort of like, well, I would want to ask Clint, well, Clint, what is just? What is right if everybody's wrong? You know, that kind of a thing. But he is a great filmmaker and well deserves the kudos he gets. The problem with Gran Torino was that he used all real Hmong people, and there weren't any that were real good actors, and so he used the best he could get. But they were the lead actors in the movie were terrible. And, but the movie was still good. You just have to be able to get past the acting.
Okay, another film, and then I want to talk to you about one that's coming out, Knowing.
Yeah, Knowing is a Nicolas Cage apocalyptic movie. We've got a lot of these apocalyptic movies now, and I think it's because of the whole global warming hysteria. This is not a global warming hysteria movie, but it's still a sort of an end of the world thing, and it's a story about this girl who basically gets a prophecy in 1950 or something. And she writes down a bunch of numbers, and then 50 years later in the present, Nicolas Cage's son gets it out of the, it was a time capsule in the school, and Nicolas Cage's son gets that page of numbers, and Nicolas Cage starts looking at it, and he starts to realize that all these numbers are prophecies of all these catastrophic events that would occur, and of course, the last event ends up being a worldwide global one, and so is it going to happen or isn't it? And what's fascinating about the movie, it has some very positive images of Christians in it, and Christianity, actually, faith. And in the end, I don't want to spoil it for people, but, I mean, in the end, it's sort of another one of those alien-type movies, okay? But they use a lot of imagery and concepts that a lot of premillennial Christians would be familiar with their view of the rapture and God's judgment of fire and all this kind of stuff. It's kind of positive in that sense, you know. So I found it sort of an interesting movie, but not great, but definitely very interesting. If you're a Christian, you might like it, and it doesn't capitulate to the global warming scam that these other movies are out, like The Day the Earth Stood Still and that kind of stuff. So I appreciated it for that.
Okay, with only about 30 seconds, the sequel to The Da Vinci Code is supposed to be coming out pretty soon, Angels and Demons. What do you expect with about 30 seconds?
I really don't know. I got the impression from the trailer that it might be, I may be wrong, but it might be the other side. Now the bad guys are the Illuminati who are trying to destroy the Roman Catholic Church or something. But I don't know, it would be cool if that were the case. So it would show a guy who admits that, the Roman Catholic Church religion isn't the conspirator of evil of everything. However, I don't really know anything about the story other than what I just saw in that trailer. And trailers can be very, very vague
and deceiving.
And deceiving, yeah.
It's always disappointing when the best parts of the movie
you've
already seen, by the time you've seen the trailer, that's the most disappointing thing in the world.
Yeah. It happens with a lot of comedy movies I've seen. It's just like, the trailers are are literally funnier than the movies. Those Wayans Brothers movies where they make joke movies about all the different genres, like movie and all this? I can't watch them because they're so boring, but I like the trailers.
Brian Goodow is a screenwriter in Southern California, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Folks, when you purchase Hollywood Worldviews from Amazon.com, the link, the Amazon.com link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support Issues, etc., issuesetc.org. Look for the link there under the on-demand page for Hollywood Worldviews by Brian Goodow and help support the outreach of Issues, etc. Brian, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd, for having me.
Folks, when you go to church this weekend, invite your fellow parishioners to tune in next week to Issues, Etc. We've got a great lineup of shows for Holy Week for our listeners. You can listen to some of these shows. The Events of Holy Week with Dr. Peter Scare, Pastor Will Whedon on how the church observes Holy Week. We'll talk about the humiliation of Christ and the exaltation of Christ with Dr. Stephen Hine. Dr. Carl Fikencher will join us to talk about the Last Supper, The Passion of Christ in the Psalms will be the subject when we talk next week with Dr. Tim Seleska, and How to Meditate on the Passion of Christ with Pastor Paul McCain. And then Pastor Bill Swirla will join us to talk about the seven dying words of Christ from the cross. All that next week on Issues, Etc. during Holy Week. And when you go to church, you know someone who hasn't listened, who needs to listen to Issues, Etc., point them in our direction and have them listen next week, Holy Week, to Issues, Etc. Oh, yeah, it's always bad when the trailer, when what the preview is better than what the actual product is. And I think it's fair to say that's not the case with Issues, Etc. We can tell you what's coming up, but what comes up is always even better than it sounds. So next week, listen for all the Holy Week programs that we have planned for you and for the rest of our listeners next week on Issues, Etc. I promise you, it will not disappoint. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.